Let me tell you about a new way of teaching fractions. That's something like, what is a half plus a third? What does that equal? Or even more basic, how do you actually divide something up into a half or a third? Now, the story is, there is a new way of teaching fractions. I think it's good. It's worth a listen to. You may like it, and you're welcome to use it. The story began, I've got six children, and my second child was about six or seven at primary school, early 2000. She's sort of now an accomplished university. But back then they were teaching fractions to her. She brought home just reams of fraction worksheets to go through, about half, colouring in things and pies and stuff like that. And as a basic researcher, well, solve any problem, look at any problem, I went away to the lab, fixed up something a little bit better, then did some research, got back the literature behind the way they were teaching it to make sure that I wasn't going to do anything wrong or harmful. And this is the story of what happened. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. In this, I'll just go through, without much further ado, the actual technique, and then sort of discuss some of the I'm sure you just want to listen to get the technique and decide whether you want to take it any further. And then I'll discuss the history of it, how I built a prototype, went to a conference, got a lowdown that no, look, you're actually outside our reality zone of someone actually inventing a better way and building a better way to teach fractions. That's just not being done here. Then putting it on the back burner, and then sort of having your end-of-life experience saying, oh, that's one thing that's, I'll have to just quietly put aside. Then you're alive again. You look around, you're doing things, and you say, look, perhaps this is worth dusting off. Perhaps this is worth telling people. So that's the background to this podcast and my cardiac rehabilitation. Fractions. I've got a whole something, a cake or a book or a piece of paper, and I want to cut it in half. But I don't actually want to really cut it in half. I want to be able to visualise it being cut in half. So the way that I did that is get a... I'm just going to simplify. I'll tell you the manufacturer of it later on. It's a little bit... because I don't have access, click my fingers and have thousands of dollars given to me, and I can walk up to a Chinese manufacturer and say, press a button and say go, I've had to actually muddle it through myself. But to start off with, you cut out a square piece of plastic, an overhead projection piece of plastic. Document protector is one of those. The thick document protectors are one thing. The important thing is that it's a piece of plastic that you can print on, because you actually don't want to do this next technique, is line it up, colour in the edges so you can see the borders. That's an important thing. And then draw a single horizontal line across halfway through. And in a more advanced tab, you have a little tab with the half written up the top of it. And so this one is a little window, and you can hold it in front of anything and see a half. And similarly, you could get exactly the same size square and get divided up into three horizontal lines. that's a third. And you've got these two squares. And what is a half plus a third? How do you work what that is? Now, of course, I'll explain a bit later, while I'm interested in that as a sort of the logical consequence of dealing with fractions, but and how that leads on to more complex mathematical operations and your sort of understanding of real world problems to maths is an ideal section to go through. So, without further ado, because you really want to get the idea, is this podcast worth listening to? Has this person out there in Australia actually come up with a different way of teaching fractions? And he may believe it, but is it worthwhile? Make a judgment of it and move on to the next podcast. So I have these two squares of plastic, one the half square and the third square, And what I do is I put one on top of the other, but rotate the third squares so their thirds are going down vertically. So when you're looking at it, it's now magically divided up into six. Then with a little texter, the person in grade two, the 6 or 7 year old, I think it was, will colour this in, and then work out how to colour in a third by counting up what a third is, but moving it across and up, and they'll colour in another, colour in three boxes, colour in two boxes, and it'll be left with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These are six boxes. That's the fundamental technique of adding fractions, being able to get across. And it is a fundamental thing to do with fractions. In certain aspects, I've sort of tested it out on in good conditions, and it does actually teach fairly effectively in the short term. In the longer term context of not being supported by general education, I don't know about the long term benefits of it. So obviously you want a stack of fraction cards, I call them, with a little label on the top, so you can clearly see, look at it, and have the number half or the third there, so you relate to the actual counting, to the actual third associated. We can actually have that printed lightly, the half and a third in the background, and slightly you can have it slightly coloured with a slightly more see-through or not the half and third, so they can see instantaneously the fractions and the actual numeric representation of it for a half and a third. And you have the tabs, such that the tabs are like a filing system, so your one half, it's all across, so you can have your fraction cards and you can instantly go through it without actually having to go through and count and look at it. You can see it from the top, and then you can have it added by a simple mechanical rotation of if the tab, the number tabs on the left and the other number tabs on the top, you then automatically get something cut up, and you can automatically see and count through it, and that's the fraction cards. Now let's go through the manufacturing process of it, the way that I manufactured it back in 2000. I wrote a LabVIEW program, a robotics program, which printed out the templates. Somehow the templates got imported into PowerPoint, in PowerPoint to PDF. Yeah, I think so. And then they were printed on overhead projection prints. Now, this has the problem that the overhead projector print is too hard. The edges are too hard, and kids can cut their fingers on the edges of those prints. And also they wear off after a while. So I then laminated them, so they're nice and thick and easy for students to pick up, and you know they're a bit sort of softer on the edges. And then cut out the cards, and to get the white tabs on the back, there's white out tape you put on the back, so that the half stands out and you can see it. And then this is very good. What I did like is that the students, once they got the... this is test students. I had a family maths, community maths evening, which I held at the local communities to teach maths. And what I did like is how family, mothers and parents automatically could use the card to transfer the concept of a half to anything. And there were some good rosy moments. Now, I wasn't a professional, I was just a parent coming in looking at it, so there's advantages. So that's the overall process of it. You can actually laboriously draw it up yourself by hand, and then obviously get a little bit of software to produce it for you. And hopefully there's some sort of entrepreneur out there which will eventually dig in their pocket, produce, you know, say, oh, let's have a bet on this and have it go across. Because this didn't happen in Australia. I didn't have a magic view that I was going to make huge amounts of money out of this. I thought, well, this is a line. This is opened up like an opening, a bush track, and let's follow this up and see what happens. So the next part of this is, I hope I've got the concept of it. That is square cards with lines drawn across like a window, and the horizontal lines the second one's made vertical. That leads to basically a multiplication of the base fraction. Lowest common denominator. These are not rote learnt steps. These are steps that the kids will naturally do, and they sort of begin to naturally pick some ideas up. That's the education basis of it. I've given the actual process of making it. I'm sure that you can think of a better way of making it. Perhaps basically phone up a manufacturer and say, this is what I want. But I definitely didn't have any money at that stage. It was more, I sort of produced so many different inventions every couple of days. It didn't rate. A few. So this is the actual process, the intellectual process where it came across. So this is for reference for why this was sitting on the shelves, and then I think I've lost the original prototype. So I've made lots of different see-through cards with different concepts. So it's a general thing, a good class sets for it. There's a few other points I want to make about cooperative, you know, one set of cards between in a group of people, they cooperate and start to work together naturally because it's a physical attribute. So it's not one set of cards per person, one set of cards per group is by far the best way to teach, in my view. And I'm not a professional primary school teacher, I'm looking at that. At this stage, I had the district coordinator, met him. He was sitting on the balcony. We had a cuppa together, and he showed me the education department book on this area called Lamingtons and Pikelets. And I read through it. And my problem is the pikelet is the circular way. And my problem with circles is that when you cut it up once, it isn't set up naturally for a second range operation. So I actually think this is in 2003 or something like that. I had sort of come convinced that the square way of doing it, and there's a natural way of discussing it, of cutting your toast. And I produced a set of placemats with different toasts and different number of creatures wanting to add up your toast. So how could you divide your toast equally amongst these people, these creatures with the minimum number of cuts? Okay, so a six, you'd do a one, and you could do that in three cuts on the toast. And so the kiddies would have this placemat with the pen, and they could draw on it, and then it would serve as a placemat. So I've still got the artwork for that tucked away somewhere. That beautiful thing. I did get some feedback. I had a kangaroo showing people what to do, and it had a wand. And at this conference, which I'll talk about later, I said, oh, can't have any feedback. And they looked at it for a while, and they said that kangaroo shouldn't have a wand because a wand looks like a stick. It had a magic hat and one of those magic sticks. So I dutifully converted that to a soft paintbrush for it. So that's sort of the madness for it. So I got this parklet and Lamingtons, and I had a general sort of academic view that Lamingtons are square Australian cakes. So they're basically old. If you make a sponge cake and you don't use it in time, you get the dried stale sponge cake and then dip it in sort of icing, chocolate icing and coconut, and that makes the famous Lamington. You can put a bit of, you know, make them short, short, well, it's sort of like recycling old bits of cake. Lamington, and everyone, every kid knows what a Lamington is and a pikelet, so it's yum, yum, yum. I'll get into it. And so I read through this and went to the references, and it sounded that the references supported using the Lamington, but I remember reading up and checking up the German reference for using the pikelets, the circles, and it said positive things at the start, but then a good solid set of negative things through it, and that actual meaning of the paper wasn't going through. I wasn't exactly happy about it. So if you cite an author and the author develops an argument one way and then the other and then comes to a conclusion, you can't really cite the author if they don't agree with you at the end of it. They may have said things which can be extracted to agree with you, but if you read, oh, whatever, I went through the whole paper. And so I went to the Maths Society of New South Wales, MANSWA, and went to a conference. I got the family in the car. We had a family holiday in a beautiful farm up near Mudgee. So this is, you cross the Blue Mountains and then go up along the back of the Blue Mountains, and there's some classic views, and we sat on this little sheep farm. Fantastic. I had a fantastic time there. I went to the conference and presented the stuff, and I was used to academic conferences where you said, oh, look, you're fairly up front and you say, this is the problem, this is where it is. And of course the problem was with the established way of teaching it. That to me wasn't such an amazing thing to say, but it got people right up the wrong way. I was diplomatic at all, so a parent guest there, but I still remember the person who said, oh, just, you know, this is outrageous, you can't criticise what's going on. And I won't mention it, but I still call it the something or other effect. I won't mention her name. And then I spoke to a few people who understood it, but they said in general there's a particular way that innovation comes in, largely from overseas, largely through companies. And then I spoke to people about how you get manufactured and anything like that, and I spoke to someone called the Dice Master and explained about how to sell something into education in Australia, you have to employ an army of ex-teachers who go one-on-one and sell. I think we sell a good fraction of a million dice a year into classrooms, or he was selling it through his Dice Master outlet. Now, I visited the Dice Master just really quickly when I was down in Melbourne, just to close the picture. And the general gist was, look, I had other fish to fry, and this is a good way of teaching fractions. I made a little short YouTube, which I can't really publish because I had my daughter in it, and I suppose I have a general thing of not ever putting a YouTube in unless I've got express permission from everybody putting it through them. So that was where that came to the end, and of course there lay until I had my life, you know, second life experience. I'm living a second life at the moment, and so when we're doing podcasts, and this seems a very obvious thing to podcasts, it's a teaching technique, a way of preparing resources for it, and something which is open-ended. If anyone's out there who's got their thing, it's that sort of a lying dormant and getting it through. Just repeating again, you're teaching fractions using clear cards. It could be an activity to get people to make their own cards, but the clear cards, it really has to be manufactured cards where the number of horizontal lines is equal to the, it gives you a division of what's underneath the card by the fractions. It's got a little tab on it, or another visual label on it, which gives you the actual fraction number. So there's the actual confirmation that the actual fraction number as represented, 1 on 3 equals 3 divisions, 1, 2, 3, divided across. And then the process of adding fractions is to divide it up furthermore into halves and thirds, or sevenths and thirds, or whatever, and rotating across, and then counting across to get there, and then developing that into a formal algebraic, I think they call it algorithm, which is sort of a strange thing, or strategy. There's a number of advantage. There's also the advantage of group work with these cards. So, I think if you're in a school district, at least producing one of these and actually doing a comparative study between that and the existing method of drilling people on cards and different techniques would be worthwhile seeing it. And I'm glad to share it. And hopefully with a broader, more varied market, there'll be someone in some country out there with some connection. We'll get it going forward. I should have perhaps thought of just explaining it to people all the way back then, but I didn't have a venue. I have actually published papers on different teaching techniques, but they tend to get stored in journals, these obscure journals, and never get anywhere. And I'll discuss those moving forward. So you're more than welcome to use it. If you find it confusing, you don't like it, well, I think a lot of people have done that, and you're welcome not to... if you're still listening and you don't like it, if you're still listening by this part of the podcast, you should have stopped listening the moment you thought you really hated a new way of teaching fractions. I'm not really forcing you to do it. It's more the enjoyment of thinking of different ways of doing things. So thanks for listening, and in the meantime, keep on teaching science.